Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Swedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Marnie's Friends. This is Marnie Swedberg, and I'm excited to be sharing with you today both one of my good friends as well as her brand new book, Out the Door in 15 Minutes. Jill Swanson's here with us on the show today, and she's a professional image stylist, a national speaker, the author of Simply Beautiful Inside and Out. She's recognized beauty expertise, teaches all the women how to bring out their best and how to be their most beautiful. And she is here to share with us strategies from her new book, Out the Door in 15 Minutes, Fast and Fabulous. Welcome, Jill.
Why, thank you, Marnie. Thanks for having me on. I am so looking forward to sharing with everybody today.
Well, that's just so fun, and I tell you, your book cover here, if you guys haven't seen the cover of this book yet, you've got to just look at the cover. I just love it. It's just this
frilly
red dress and these legs running by and out the door fast and fabulous. And actually, Jill, I have to tell you that my morning routine has taken 20 minutes since I can remember, and that includes a shower. And so,
good.
Yeah, I know. So I'm curious how to get that down to 15 myself. No, I'm just kidding. I'm really excited to hear what you're going to train us today, especially because you are really a master of not only making it faster and better, but also keeping the peace. try not to make yourself nuts going so fast you're going to be dizzy when you walk out the door. Yeah, you're out walking out, but you're dizzy. So I'm excited to hear what you're going to share. And I just wondered, what was the inspiration for it? How did you come up with 15 minutes?
Well, part of it actually came from a person who read my first book, which was Simply Beautiful Inside and Out, and she was all excited about it, but she looked at me real quizzically and she said, okay, all this information about, how to do my closet and look beautiful, this is good, but just tell me how I could do it in 15 minutes. And I laughed and I thought, you know what, that's so true. I mean, we've got busy mothers out there, we've got working women, we've got retired women that are now busier than they ever were in the rest of their life. And we all want to know how can we do it in a shorter amount of time and still find balance in our life for the rest of what's out there. And I think that really is the key, is getting it balanced. So we can still we don't have to feel guilty about what we're doing in front of the mirror, choosing something out of the closet. There are ways to do it quicker and better. And then dedicate some of that time to the other things that are important in your life.
So great. And we're going to work through kind of the four angles of it: evaluate, eliminate, anticipate, and accentuate. And we're going to talk through these. But you guys want to just know, too, that Jill Swanson, her site is jillswanson.com, and you can check out everything that she offers over there, because in 60 minutes here, we're just going to barely be able to scratch the surface of what you make available to women as far as health and beauty and being our best personal selves. I love your ministry that way. Okay, well, let's go ahead and dive in with the first segment of this, which is to evaluate. And actually, I just have to tell you that I call it assess, but that is always the first thing that we have to do. We have to step back and say, what have I been doing? What's working? What's not working? So when you talk to ladies about evaluating, what do you have them do first?
Well, one of the first things I recommend they do is take into consideration your lifestyle. Are you a pressured professional, or are you a multitasking type of mom, and maybe you're just, you're mature and you're managing, or you could be, young, hip, and ever-changing. You've got to take into consideration where you're at in life right now and realize it doesn't work the same as it might have 10 or 15 or 20 years ago. The second aspect of that is take into account your personality. There are people have different ways of doing their closet and their life based on their personality. And I found this really interesting when I did research on it, because there are those people that are outgoing and gregarious and they enjoy life and do it to the fullest, and they everything is fun for them, and that's a great way to be. And if it's not fun to do it, they don't want to do it. But the downside of this optimistic, cheerful person is that oftentimes their clothes and their accessories and their makeup tend to get a little bit disheveled, and it, both in the context of what their closet looks like and what their makeup drawer looks like. It just their life is so go, or so fun that they don't always want to take time to organize things, or they just like such a variety that they have way more clothes than what they actually need, or way more makeup than what's necessary. And so, if this, I want to know, is this person that type of person before we get started with trying to organize? The lady who's what I call the true blue. It's the woman who is very organized and often feels very compulsed to get everything done exactly right on time. She would never arrive late for anything. And even though you might think, well, that'd be the last person that would read a book like this, oftentimes they're always looking for new ways to manage and get organized and put their life together. So, and then I've got the powerful red person, who's that person that is just busy all the time. She's all about how much can I get done and how fast can I do it. And again, the situation tends to be her closet's really bipolar. Either it's very regimented or it's in utter chaos. So it's one extreme or the other. And if this is your lifestyle, how can you get that balance so that life will work better for you? And then the last person is one of my favorite kinds of people to be around. These are the people who are the serene greens. They are so calming and so sweet. But the problem is that sometimes they feel so unmotivated to even be anywhere on time. They don't. It's okay. If I get there, I get there. People still love me, and we do. They're awesome people. But they also get frustrated because they do occasionally have a hard time getting out the door in 15, 20, 30, 40 minutes, whatever it might happen to be. And so my goal for this person then is to teach them how they can start purging their closet, start from a good point, have outfits that really work, so they don't have to stand there and say, gee, do I wear this or do I wear that? So the evaluation part really has a lot to do, first of all, with the person themselves. But the other aspect is to evaluate, what is 15 minutes to you? You know, you mentioned something really key here, Marnie. You said something about you take 20 minutes, but that includes your shower. Is that what I said? I mean, that's pretty amazing. I talk about it can be done. If you can take a 3-minute shower, you might be able to get that into the 15 minutes, but I think you're doing fabulous to do a complete shower, your hair and everything else, and still be able to get out the door comfortably in 20
minutes.
Well,
you don't know how I look when I go out the door. No, I'm teasing. Actually, you do know how I look when I go out the door. But let's talk about that, just really the technical side of what equals, you know, what are you including in that 15 minutes? So let's start with that.
Oh, good point. First of all, I'm including, and again, this depends. If you are the type of person that really needs to spend time on your hair and you like spending time on your hair, then I might exclude that from the 15 minutes and do what you did with the shower, add an extra 5 minutes or whatever you might need on with that, though I give you a lot of ideas. So I broke it down into 3 basic categories, 5 minutes each, 5 minutes to do your hair and your shower, which for some people they might not need even 5 minutes. I guess there's some people that are just wash and wear kind of people. Then the second
then you've
portion,
got somebody listening that's going, What?
No,
5 minutes for shower, 5 minutes for hair. Shower alone is 20 minutes.
Oh,
hair alone
I know.
Is 30.
I have people in my house like this. I know the 20-minute shower person, and I respect that. And so, again, you might say, you know what, I can do it in 15 minutes if I don't have to take that shower or wash my hair. And, you know, nobody says you have to do that every day either.
Gosh, and I think that's the key here before we lose people right off the bat. The key is that it is possible for you to develop a routine that allows you to get out the door in 15 minutes, all put together. But on whatever days you don't want to, you can take as long as you want. I mean, that's kind of when I teach people the cooking techniques in the Kitchen Shortcuts, my book. That's what I say to them about cooking. If you want to spend all Saturday doing a gourmet feast, great, have fun. But most days you want to get dinner on the table quickly. You know, and that's kind of what we're talking about here is the most day thing. And then on the days when you want to spend more time, gosh, obviously go for it. Okay, so let's say that I could get my hair and shower done in 5 minutes. So what else is included in my 15?
Okay, your next 5 minutes will be your makeup. And for some women, this will not even be a part of the equation because they don't do makeup or they don't feel like, you know, they're beautiful. They don't have to, not that you have to be beautiful to not wear makeup, but there are some people that just naturally don't have a need for that. So makeup would be part two. Part three, and this is one for all of us, is figuring out what you're going to wear. Unless, of course, you have to wear a uniform to work, then that's going to simplify that considerably. But what about the next time you have to dash out the door and you had forgotten about the baby shower that you were supposed to go to? Do you have something you can grab and go and still look fabulous? Mm-hmm. And so that's all part of the process, too, of evaluating what do I have and where are my shortcomings in my routine for getting ready to be somewhere on time?
Okay, so I love this in your book. You actually have an OTD equation. Okay, so here's the equation, girls, for out the door. Your equation is hair and shower minutes plus makeup minutes plus wardrobe minutes equals your OTD. So what is
exactly
your own total? What is your normal?
Shocked. I think when I did research on this, the average woman spent 72 minutes primping and preparing to leave the house.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, so you really have to sit down and figure out where are your minutes being spent? What's taking you more time? And, you know, do you want to trim it down?
Wow, that's really interesting. Now, is that including, like, moms, you know, changing diapers in the middle of it and stuff, or is that actually the time that they're spending doing it?
It's sad, but it's not changing diapers. It is doing it.
72 minutes.
It's actually doing it. 72 minutes, the average woman. That's the average woman.
That's amazing. Okay. Well, one thing I was going to talk about here, too, before we keep going, and we've got so much to cover, but one thing I was thinking about was in this routine that I do, so when I teach people how to add habits to their life, how to add positive change to their lives, what I teach them is to hook a new habit to something you're already doing. So for me, when I'm taking my shower, I am putting on my spiritual armor. I get in the shower and my hands go straight up in the air and I say, thank you for the shield of faith. And I just like putting a shield up in front of me and over me. I just put that shield up. And then I move on as I'm doing my hair. I'm thanking God for the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, and the shoes of gospel of preparation of peace. And then I pick up my sword as I'm putting my towel around me, and that is my shower. And then when I'm doing my makeup, I'm praying for my sisters as I do my makeup in the morning. So just as we're talking about this, you can even say, wow, you know, not only can we do it quickly, we can have this have an eternal reward to it, which I like to have everything I do have an eternal reward because I think that's where we're really going to have a blast. So, all right.
Boy, that is so true. It's about multitasking because the Lord's right there with you the whole time anyway. Why not talk to him? I love your idea of praising him in the shower.
Now you have this way, and actually, gals, when you get this book, it's called Out the Door in 15 Minutes. When you get it, right in chapter 2 here, which we're talking about, the evaluation chapter, you actually have the personality assessment. The whole assessment is right here, and you can do this. It's very easy, and she has it divided up into sunny yellow, which is more like the fun personality, true blue, which is like the organizational leader, the powerful red is the leader, and then the serene green is the peaceful person in your life. And now, for these people, is there one of these people that's really going to struggle for doing it in 15 minutes?
Yes. I would say the first person that's going to struggle is that funny, fun, sunny personality type person, because she's going to be so easily distracted in the process of doing it.
Right.
I forgot to do this. Oh, look, I broke my necklace. Let me sit here and fix this. You know, that person that's got, like me, who's got ADHD, is going to have to really wrangle in some of those disciplines.
How about peaceful green? Are they going to struggle a little bit?
Peaceful greens are the ones that their theme song to life is, don't worry, be happy. You know, they're going to take it easy. They're going to have a hard time rolling on. So these people, and these are usually the people that keep the stuff in their closet from years and years gone by. They don't let go of their old stuff because, you know, I might want to wear that someday. So part of the deal is respecting what their natural routine is. Oftentimes they're laid back. They don't like to wear a lot of makeup. So one of the things I really encourage them to do is say, okay, if you could just do two things, what are the two things you think would make the most difference? And then, so you don't want to put too much pressure on that serene green. You want to give that calm, peaceful person a plan that will work for them and set them up for success later on. And that comes in the anticipation role of it.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back and talk about the aspect of eliminate, and we're going to find out what that means. We'll be right back.
Do you ever need speakers for dinners, retreats, conferences, or other women's events? Check out www.womenspeakers.com. It's the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring over 1,500 Christian women speakers, some near you, and some from every level of experience and fee range you can imagine. So you're sure to find lots of great speaker options for you and your next event over at www.womenspeakers.com. That's womenspeakers.com.
Welcome back. This is Marnie, and we are finding out how to get out the door in 15 minutes looking fabulous. And we're here today with Jill Swanson of JillSwanson.com, and the name of her new book is Out the Door in 15 Minutes. Glad that you could be here with us. And we just finished a little segment on evaluating how long it takes. Your out the door or OTD score was hair and shower time plus makeup time plus wardrobe time equals OTD score. And now we're going to talk about eliminating, and that is not a great word. So what are we doing here?
You know, that's a scary word for a lot of people. They're not so sure they want to let go of something. But I'll tell you what, it is also a very freeing word. I just read a definition for the word hoarding the other day. And it was, hoarding is actually having without using something.
Hmm.
And I thought, boy, that really nails it. And I think we could all say we're guilty of some degree of hoarding in our lives. What are you having that you're not using? Vernon Howard once said, you've succeeded in life when all you really want is only what you really need. And I think that's what I'm trying to teach women is, how can you pare down not just the things that you own, but some of your lifestyle habits to help you get out the door faster. So I'm not just covering the beauty aspects of this, but I'm also looking at what are some of the things that you're doing. I know for myself, probably my worst habit is to go and check my email when I'm in a hurry and ready to get out the door. Nothing will suck me in longer than checking email or reading my text messages, and then you're standing there trying to do that and get out the door at the same time. So I give a few ideas for how to get past that, how to overcome the TMI situation with all the information that we're bombarded with today on TV and on radio. And, you know, in the morning, that's the first thing we do is let's turn on the news and find out what's going on. And oftentimes that can be a time something that soaks up our time as well. So I'm looking at all the different aspects and teaching women how to change their brain and to be able to move forward. The other aspect of eliminating is looking at the simple areas of our lives. What can you eliminate, for instance, out of your bathroom that you kept in there for years? Open up those cupboards underneath the sink. How many tubes of hair products do you have sitting under there? How many different kinds of hair accessories do you have? Or just the appliances alone in your bathroom can be overwhelming. What if you just simplified it down to only what you needed and had those things accessible in the morning or even any time of the day, depending on what time you have to leave the house? Same thing goes for closets. I have a wonderful system for organizing the closet where you take everything out of the closet and you play the game of finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And it's not as scary as it sounds. You're taking things out of the closet and actually categorizing them in those four categories to help you pare down what's in your closet. Because did you know the average woman wears about 10% of the clothes in her closet 90% of the time?
Mm-hmm.
Unbelievable, but we do that. We have our favorite things we wear again and again and again. And other things that don't get worn because they didn't turn out to be outfits. When we bought them, they turned out to be orphans in our closet instead of outfits. And we had to work to try to put them together, and then we never had the time to do that. Or what about the if-onlys that are in your closet? Those would be the finders, the things in your closet that you'd say, I would wear that thing if only I could find a way to lose 5 pounds so it would fit me. Or I would wear that thing if only I could find the right piece for it, or if only I could find the time to put a new hem in it. You know, we've got those dark clouds hanging in our closet that we have to go past every day and deal with before we can find something to wear. The other thing that a lot of us get caught up in is having a having clothes in our closet that are just what I call your unclothes. Okay, uns are things that are unflattering or unattractive or unwearable. Oh my goodness. I mean, and I'm just as guilty of this as the next person. Do you have some things in your closet that you couldn't wear it anywhere because it's got a stain right in the front on the top part of the blouse? Or you couldn't wear it because it's been, those pants have been just a little bit too small for the last three years. You know, we've all got stuff like that that kind of hangs around in our closet. So you've got to look at that as part of the elimination process. Or what about those things in your closet, you put them on and they're uncomfortable? You know, I go crazy if there's a tag in the neck of my sweater. And so oftentimes I won't put that on until I've had time to take out the tag. So think about what's in your closet that's causing you frustration and get it out of there. So elimination is really cleaning that up. And do the same thing with your shoes and your jewelry and your outerwear, all those different aspects. Clean that closet up and get organized, and it will indeed change your life.
I love how, as you were speaking there, I could almost feel the black cloud, you know, the cloud of, you said, you used the word, the cloud of those things in your closet that are uns, that are, they're either screaming at you that you're not something, like you're not small enough, or you're not, you know, neat enough, now you have a stain on it, or you're not something. And so every time you go by it, you have this negative input, even though no one's speaking to you. Just touching a garment like that repeatedly, day after day after day, is a negative influence in our lives, and we don't have to do that. I have this way that I do it, and actually I've lost a lot of weight in the last few years, and so I have my closet separated into two sections, the size that I'm currently wearing and the size that I'm going for. And I have the size that I'm going for actually behind a divider over on the far side so that I don't have to touch it every day. It's looking there at me like I get to go there, but it's not in the main section where I'm touching my clothes. And I love that. And I just encourage, you know, those who are listening that felt that when Jill was talking away and you felt that kind of negative tension there, just know that that's something that you can just stop doing today. Just change it.
Absolutely. And, you know, realize where those unthoughts are coming from. I mean, these are what I call your spiritual uns, those unsolicited, untrue thoughts that the enemy shouts in your direction, you know, saying you're unattractive, you're unfit, you're unacceptable, all of that garbage. You can put a stop to that, you know, turn it over to God, stop those thoughts from coming in right away, and get out of sight, out of mind, those things that are making you feel sad. And, you know, it could even be something that even just the color depresses you, or maybe the garment reminds you of something you don't want to be reminded of right now. Clean it out and have only in that closet what currently fits your body, feels good, and pulls together to become an outfit.
Love it. Teach us the three R's of simplification.
The three R's of simplification. Well, one of them is you want to learn to reprioritize. As I said before, you know, 10% of the clothes in the closet is what you're wearing. So if you're not wearing it, demote it. I do that a lot when I wear
most of your clothes. I love it.
We're going to demote that piece from being a business outfit down to being casual because you're not wearing it for business anyway. Or, you know what, the other one that I think most women are guilty of is saving their clothes. Okay, you know, I'm just saving that for a special occasion. Why? You might never get to wear it. Why not take something that's a dressy, maybe you have a dressy jacket that's really cute, but you never wear it because it's that one thing out of the year that you may have to wear it for. Demote that down and put it with a pair of dressy jeans. Have some fun with the clothes that you have in your closet. So reprioritize is the number one R.
That's such a great idea. So what you just said, if I understood you, I was thinking that you were meaning get rid of it, but you weren't at all. You were meaning wear it for something less than what you bought it for.
Exactly. Exactly. Give it a new position in your closet.
Give it a raise, I think.
A raise, yeah. That's
demote it. Demote it. But okay, so if you were the jacket and you were purchased to go somewhere fancy but you never got to leave the closet, it would be a promotion to get to go out sometimes, even if you didn't get to go quite to the high level event you were looking
forward to. Oh, absolutely. And you know what's funny? I do a lot of shopping in consignment stores, and I was in a consignment store yesterday and ran across this beautiful red jacket that had kind of like a ribbon design on it. I think it came from, you know, standard department store kind of a thing, but it had looked like it had only been worn once. Somebody probably just wore it for Christmas. And I pulled that blazer off of the rack, and I tried it on, and it was so cute with a pair of jeans. And I thought, I wonder if that person who owned this ever even dreamed of the possibility of pairing this up with jeans. So,
right.
So hence,
right.
Hence my point. Go ahead and
fun.
Look at the possibility of reprioritize that item.
Cool.
So then
okay,
what's
the second R?
The second R is reduce. In other words, cut back on the amount of time and space that that item or that habit is taking up in your life. A good number is I tell people to reduce your clutter by 20%. If you're having a hard time doing this, just go through and say, okay, I'm going to reduce what I have in my lipstick collection by 20%. So if I've got 10 tubes of lipstick, I'm going to get rid of 2. Because sometimes people have a hard time letting go of things. So if you can make it your goal to do 20%, whether it's unmatched socks or outdated accessories, whatever's lying dormant in your closet, look at the option of what can you take out. One of the other things I see that really complicates people's lives is they have too many hangers in their closet. They have all these hangers that have nothing hanging on them, or they have piles of them on the floor. Maybe you just need to get rid of your hangers and get it down to what you have enough clothes for. Because when you start reducing, you're actually going to end up with a lot more hangers, too, in the end.
Cool. Just this morning, I was at the bank, and the gal who was serving me was feeling insecure about her nail polish, which I thought was really funny because I don't even wear nail polish, so I'm not sure why she all of a sudden felt insecure with me about her nail polish. But anyway, she had these wonderful nails, and it was beautiful nail polish. And she said, it just isn't my color. I usually wear, and she does. She always wears bright primary colors, and it was more like a softer color, but it was this dark, it was this beautiful pink color, but it wasn't her color. It was too pink for her. Anyway, she said that what she does is she takes all of her nail polish bottles that have less than half, and she just randomly, combines them and makes new colors. So
love
there you go.
Idea.
If you have a half or less of your nail polish bottles, just pour them together, but just make sure you like the outcome before you wear it to work.
Well, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
She just didn't like it.
It gets to a point where you can't even get it on the brush anymore. It gets halfway down, and you're like, well, this is wasted because I can't use it. That's a great idea, as long as it's nice and sticky to mix it together. I think it's a great idea. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, what's our final R?
Our last R is to relinquish one habit that hampers your ability to be punctual. And as I mentioned before, I kind of outlined some of the things that we have a tendency that keep us from being able to be on time for things. So maybe that habit is, you know, watching the morning news, or maybe that habit is sitting down and feeling like you need to read the whole newspaper, or maybe it's, like I said, checking your email or whatever. There are some tips in there on how to halt your habits. And one of the things that I've learned for myself is just to, first of all, try doing something that changes your brain in the process. Okay, for instance, one of the things that I've learned to do is to use what I call a clicker. You know what a clicker is? A thing that you change TV channels with. Okay, when you're tempted to succumb to your habit, change the channel by forcing yourself to redirect your brain and your actions. Now, one of the habits I talked about, and this is a goofy time waster, but I have this thing where I like to twick my hair or flick my hair. You know how some people twirl their hair with their fingers? Okay, I can do that for an hour. If somebody just sat me alone in a room, I could be totally entertained. I'm in pretty sad shape. But and for somebody else, everybody's got their thing, you know. I figure, well, it replaces some of the other habits I could have picked up.
Yep,
but one of the things I had to do was to stop doing it. And a great way to break a habit is to force yourself to work the right side of the body with the left side of the body. So, for instance, if you want to stop nail biting, you can clench your left fist and then your right fist, and your left fist and your right fist, and that will force you to stimulate areas of the brain and help you to stop doing that. I did a lot of studies on this and found it really fascinating. That's also a good way to help you remember things. If you can get your left and your right side of the body working back and forth, whether it's just looking left, right, left, right, left, right, it helps connect two parts of the brain together and get your brain on another wave so you're not going back to that habit all the time. And there's a lot of other ideas in there, too, so I'm not going to drag this on. But that was just something that I thought I would throw out there. So the last R is to learn to relinquish one habit that's keeping you from being on time for something.
Hmm. give us some examples so I can understand. Like a habit would be that your closet is so full that you habitually spend, you know, 10 to 15 minutes just taking things out and putting them back in. So you can't decide. That would be a habit. What's some other habits that really catch people up in the mornings?
Oh, let's see here. I would say one of the biggies for people is picking up the phone and calling somebody or answering a call when it's not necessary to do that. I have found for myself that's an issue. One that goes around in our family, hitting that 5-minute alarm again and again and again. Mm-hmm. I live with somebody that does that, and it drives me up the wall. But when you get in that habit, it prevents you from moving forward. So that was just one of them that I dealt with personally.
Yeah, good. Okay, well, we are going to come right back and talk about anticipation, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info.
Well, it's Marnie. Welcome back. Our switchboard wouldn't let me on, but we're back here. We are visiting today with Jill Swanson. Happy to have you with us. We're talking about Out the Door in 15 Minutes and how to really streamline your morning routine so that you can enjoy the rest of your day without spending so much time, or even maybe what I would say is more time than you want to, getting ready in the morning. And as we discussed earlier, it's not that you have to only spend 15 minutes. It's that if you need to, you could. And so this is Jill's here to share with us these best practices for getting out the door quick in the morning, looking fabulous. Jill, thanks for being here.
Sure enough.
Okay, we're going to talk about anticipation, and I want to talk about, before we get into the morning routine part of it, I want to talk about anticipation in a way like I used to always, in fact, I still always do make a list of things to do. I'm quite a listy. I'm your organized person, so I'm
love
quite a
it.
Listy, and I love making a list, and I love checking things off my list as I get through the day. And
okay, let me ask you this. Do you ever just get to the end of the day and add an extra couple of things on your list that you did get done that you didn't have written on there and put a little box and check it?
Oh, absolutely. And part of it is for the joy of checking it off. But another thing is that my journals with my lists are kind of a diary too. And so a lot of times I will do that when things came up in it. Then I can look back and say, oh, that's the day that I, you know, met with this vendor, you know, whatever, like that. So there's that. But just for a listy, I mean, it is fun to do that. One of the things that I learned recently is that, and oftentimes I would do this the night before. Instead of waiting until the morning, I would do it the night before. And one of the things I learned recently was that doing it the night before is so helpful because your subconscious mind, even while you're sleeping, your subconscious mind is working, and it allows the mind time to incubate the things that are on that list for the next day and allows the mind to begin solving problems and coming up with faster ways to do whatever it is you are doing. And so that's one of the ways that I anticipate the new day is by kind of thinking about it ahead like that. Sometimes I don't write it down necessarily, but usually I do. When you think about anticipation as it has to do with out the door in 15 minutes, what are the things that you think about, Jill?
Well, first of all, I got to tell you, I love your idea of doing your list the night before and giving your brain a chance to mull it over. Plus, it gives you something to look forward to getting up to in the morning. You know, it's like I have a plan for the day. I have a reason to get out of bed. And I think a lot of us don't anticipate for the next day, and that causes us to kind of want to lay there and indeed hit that 5-minute alarm 5 or 6 times through the course of the morning. So
that's why I jump out of bed in the morning.
That's right.
I already know how long my list is.
I like to believe that the other person in my house that does that is maybe just laying there making their list in their head at that time.
Right, I don't know.
But I think the truth is that confidence comes with preparation. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are prepared for whatever it is, whether it's a speech or the day or a project, your confidence often will come with being prepared, and being prepared on every level, you know, physically, mentally, which is what you're basically doing with your list, and spiritually. You know, so you know, talking it over with the Lord, and oftentimes my list making comes first thing in the morning. That's how I anticipate my day. I sit down, have a meeting with God, and say, okay, what are we going to get accomplished today? And I think I can see where this could certainly work both ways. Get my list made in the evening and then sit down and say, okay, Lord, where are we going with this? But the three basic things that I think need to be done to master the art of anticipation is, number one, to indeed make a list. Number two is get yourself organized, which we just talked about, eliminating there to do that, but then organization comes right along with that. And number three is, of course, learning to manage your time. So so I would say, you know, learning to do a to-do list is an emotional boost. At least when you get done with the day, you know what you've gotten finished. You feel like you've actually accomplished something, even if it's only one or two things off of that list. So I do highly recommend doing exactly what you do, and I call them it's my ta-da list. You know, when you get done, it's like, oh, ta-da, I got that done.
Ta-da.
So instead of a to-do, it's a ta-da.
Love it.
Yeah. if you are a first-time list maker...
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that's what I was going to
say. I was going to say, if you are a first-time list maker, where you and I have probably been doing this for years, I just suggest keep it to 5 to 7 tasks for the day, and then just use like 3 words to make it readable at a glance. So don't try to really list out every single step you're going to do that day, but list out, you know, just a few things you want to do and keep the list word-wise short as well. It makes it easy to glance over it.
Absolutely. I was just grabbing my journal here. So this is from one day last week, and this is between the store, the restaurant, the house, and it's got things like finish the fabric relay, which is the department we were working on that. Flip Christmas with containers because we still have Christmas clearance, but it was in the wrong aisle. I had to move that around. Box Easter and St. Patrick's layout aisles 4, relay aisles 28 and 29 over coffee walls this spring. Call for mini golfers. Quilts to display, crafters office, bead end caps, tutus, jewelry, notepads, signs, Dave needs the meat and Ann's cabinet orders. It goes on like that. Now, did I get that all done that day? No, I didn't. But what I do is I list all these things that are in my mind to do. So right now it feels like a million things in my mind swirling around, making me crazy. So what I do is I write them all down, and then to the left of each one, I just put the priority, like I put, if I needed to get it done today, and our interview today is on a Thursday, so if I need to get it done today, I just write a TH next to it. If it needs to be done Friday, by Friday, I put F next to it. If it needs to be done by next Monday, I put M next to it. If it needs to be done by, you know, 2 months from now, I just put that date next to it. And then I can easily see, okay, which of these many things to do I need to do today? And then I make my real list. And then I can go on with any of the rest of things that I need to. But what happens with these lists is that you get 1,000 things to do onto paper, and you find out it's only like 200, and you don't even have to do all 200 today. It's sweet.
That's right. You know, you're blowing some people out of the water with this idea of having 200 things on the list, but I relate to what you're saying here very, very clearly, because I think that's it. You unload your brain and you put it on the paper. And don't you know, Marnie, when I sit down to try to do my Bible study or my time with God, that's
Absolutely.
The time when my brain gets flooded with all the millions of things that I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I just write it down, I can leave it go, and I can move on to listening to what he has to say to me.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
Oh, because that's the perfect time for the enemy to attack, isn't it?
And I not only want to affirm that if you don't have some kind of a system where you are going to be responsible for those things later, that you are actually, you know, setting yourself up for that kind of input. But the other side is that, for me, when I started really spending time sitting with Jesus, just sitting with Jesus, what happened to me is not only did all these many things to do come to my mind, which then, if I hadn't already added them to my list, I just quick grabbed my list and put it on the bottom and said, I'll think about that in a little bit. But then also another thing that happened to me right then is I was bombarded with the feeling, which I don't think was from me, the feeling that I was wasting valuable time. And that just has to be confronted directly. You are not, there's nothing more important to do than sit and soak with Jesus. That is the most important thing we can do in the day, even compared to all that long list of things to do.
sitting with Jesus is so valuable and important, and you need to be able to just talk back to those negative thoughts, whether they're coming from inside of you or even outside of you.
That's right. In fact, that's why I made that a really strong point at the end of the book. The last chapter of the book is what to do with those extra 15 minutes that you've now saved yourself.
I love it.
And I think that's it. And how to do it. You know, there are simple steps you can do. These same steps we're talking about, evaluate, eliminate, anticipate, and accentuate, that you can put into your 15 minutes of quiet time with the Lord, and that time flies by. And you know what I love about it, Marnie? What started out for me as 15 minutes is now easily 30 minutes to 45 minutes on a good day, and I just, oh, I love that time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, there's just nothing more energizing, peaceful. I mean, it's everything that we need. It's everything that we need right there. Great. Okay, so once we make the list, then number two?
Number two is, you know what, one of the things I recommend here in getting organized is learn to cluster your areas of what you need. You know, I started out with just a simple example of clustering, like a friend of mine has coffee every morning before, you know, that's the way she wakes up and she gets going. So she puts her cup on a tray along with her little packets of sugar and her spoon, and she has her coffee pot set so that it turns on automatically. And everything she needs right there. She doesn't have to open a bunch of cupboards, find things, dig out what she's got to have. It's right there for her breakfast or her coffee time. Do the same thing with what you're doing in your shower. You know, what do you have the things clustered together that you need in your shower? So you're not in there thinking, oh gosh, I forgot to bring my razor in here. I need that now, or I don't have the cream rinse that I needed for my hair, or whatever it might happen to be. Cluster together what you're going to use at that time in that place, and just keep it there. Big thing on makeup is keep it out. So I usually just keep my everyday things are either out on the countertop for me to use really quick, or they're in a drawer that's at the very top that I open. I have one step. I open that drawer, and it's right there. I don't have to dig through. I don't have to open another drawer. I don't have to open a box. Everything is there, and it's ready to go. I've gotten to the point now where I leave a lot of my powder containers that are, you know, pressed powder, like for eyeshadow and blush, open. And that way I don't have to take the time. I know this sounds pathetic, but I don't have to take the time to unscrew anything. My foundation is in a pump bottle so that I don't have to unscrew the foundation lid and open it and tip it upside down and put the lid back on and all that. It's make it simple for yourself. Look at ways that you can cut down on time. And the book that I wrote is just, it's filled with a lot of tips along those lines. Here's where you can cut down on this tip, this thing, and this thing, and this thing, because there are ways to reduce the time that you're spending getting ready.
I love that. And one thing, I know, Jill, you do too. I do a lot of traveling. And so in order to be organized at home or and on the road, both back and forth using the same makeup stuff doesn't work for me. So I have a whole second set. I have a second set that just lives in my suitcase. And I just am ready to go. I don't have to worry about running back and forth and getting things. What it taught me was that, and what I got was one of those large, it's actually a purse. I got a large kind of a soft body purse that fits inside my suitcase, and it holds everything that I need when I'm traveling to take to the bathroom with me. So all I have to do is grab my clothes, and then I grab this one bag, and it has everything. If I'm staying in someone's home, it even has a small little hair blower, a hair dryer in it, and it has everything in that bag. When I get to the bathroom, I just set that bag on the counter, and then I open it up, and it has everything I need in that one place. I used to just be like this crazy piled up person going to the bathroom in someone's home or whatever, and now it's just so wonderful to have it all in one bag. So as you go through this book, you guys, you're going to find out some wonderful strategies for being able to get it so organized so that it is easy for you to do it quickly and to really look like a pro when you do it. Not that anybody's watching, but you'll just feel I feel happier when I feel organized instead of when I feel, you know, disrupted and like I have to keep running back and forth to get this thing or that thing. And that kind of brings us to the last part of this, prioritize, organize, and synchronize, is to manage your time.
Yes, yes, manage your time. And I think probably most of the time that we find that we wasted is mismanaged is when we're standing in front of the closet doors going, I don't know what I'm going to wear today. Well, you know, we that's where we lose some extra time. And so one of the one of the tips that I give actually in the wardrobe section is, and this is really a game changer, it's to build in your closet what I call closet capsules. A capsule is putting together a complete outfit on one hanger. So hanging on that hanger is the shirt, the pants, the belt, the jacket, the necklace or the scarf, and even the earrings in a little Ziploc baggie around the neck of the hanger, so that when you, and I usually do about two or three of these at least in the closet when I work with somebody, so that when you are ready to walk out that door, when you're ready to get ready in the morning or in the afternoon or for something special, you can grab one hanger and know everything you need is on that hanger in that capsule. I've even gone so far as to plan ahead and have something like a funeral outfit on a hanger, because you never know when something like that's going to come up, especially if it's a family thing. You are not going to have time to think about what to wear. Have that stuck in the back of the closet. Have a, and this sounds a little crass, but have a fat day outfit. If you're at a day where it's like, I don't feel like wearing anything, I've put on a few pounds and I look awful and nothing fits me, have one outfit that you know can work for you on those days when you aren't 100% what you once were, and have it accessorized so you at least can feel good about what you look like.
Mm, those are great tips. I know one thing that when you were talking about having the hangers like that, I think that for a lot of people, especially if they haven't ever done it before, if you've never done it, that would be a wonderful place to start, because it's so visual and it's so... You'll love the ease of it, and you'll become kind of not addicted to it, but you'll become thrilled by the ease of it. And so, what I find is that once I have combined some of those outfits and worn them a couple of times, that's kind of a second nature thing to say, oh, these are the things that go together with those earrings or whatever, and to be able to just grab and go without the hanger being all put together. So, for those of you listening, you don't probably have to do it for the rest of your life unless you want to. A lot of us share closets, like might be someone else doing the laundry, bringing the clothes up for you, that might not work for you, but as long as you know what they are. I think, Jill, for me, just I'm such a listy, and so this came more naturally to me, but instead of doing it on the hanger, I would just write down, these are the things that go together, and then
okay. And
then like that I could easily put them together quickly until I learned which things went together. So if someone has never done this, if someone has never put an outfit together, does your book actually kind of walk them through how to do that?
Yes, I give some ideas on that, and it's interesting you bring up that point, too, about writing yourself a little note of, you know, what goes together. What I've done with my own closet, Marnie, is since I do a lot of switching around and traveling, is I take pictures of my outfits. I'll lay them out on the floor, take a picture,
yep,
put it on my phone or my camera or I've even copied them off and made a little booklet for myself so I could just flip through the picture book and know exactly what I can put together. So that's another great way to do that. Something else that would simplify this entire process is if you're thinking, well, I don't have that many clothes that I could put them in capsules, why not just make what I call an accessory encore? An accessory encore is where you take three things that are similar that can be worn with one outfit and move throughout your closet. For instance, I've got one encore in my closet that's a pair of shoes that are kind of that snakeskin print, what we call a python print, and then I've got a scarf that's got a little bit of an animal print in the same colors as the shoes, and I have a necklace that's a flat stone that's in a beige and a brown tone. Now, I can take those three pieces, and I can wear them with something like my brown turtleneck and my brown pair of pants in the wintertime, or I can wear them with my ivory linen shirt and my ivory linen skirt in the summertime. So that would be an example of one accessory encore. I have another encore that's worked around romantic look. I have a very crocheted, lacy-looking jacket that's in an ivory color, and I have a pair of ivory pearls that are just some fake ivory long pearls, and then some ivory earrings that are pearl that are like that. And again, I can wear those three things with my brown turtleneck and my brown pair of pants and my ivory linen shirt and my ivory linen skirt. So something like this is a real simple thing that you can move through your closet. And I get some other examples of that in the book, but I want to teach women that it's doable for anybody.
And you actually, in your book, you actually, and we're going to move right into the accentuate part now, too. And then, by the way, if you guys are, you know, just like, I've got to get this book, over at jillswanson.com, you can get the book. And if you mention that you heard her on my show, she'll give you 25% off. So you can just contact her to get that 25% off discount. But this last part here is about accentuating. And that's kind of what you're talking about here. And in this part of the book, I love how you, you know, back several years ago, it was really popular to find out what your color was. Were you cool or warm? Were you summer, winter, spring or fall, like that? And you still really work with gals on this, because I actually taught it years ago, and I always stick with mine. And when I look at people, I can see what they are by looking at them, because it really matters.
It does. It's still, color is still the first thing a person notices about you and the last thing they remember. It'll be the color that you have on. So still, it has quite an impact. And what I love about color, Marnie, is it doesn't cost any more to get something in the right color versus the wrong color.
Not only that, but once you know which color palette you're in, then whatever you buy is going to match with the other things that are already in your closet instead of clashing with them.
Exactly. It simplifies your life. And that's pretty much what I did, even with the color theory. I did put this into the book. I gave you ideas on how to figure out if you're a warm, a cool, or what's known as a versatile. A versatile is a person that's a little bit of a combination of warm and cool. And so I gave some general guidelines on how to figure that out. And then I also included a lot of before and after pictures to help inspire women, along with a palette, a page that's got, you know, what colors to buy on that page. So you've got actual, you know, chips of paint practically on the page, so you could take it to the store and say, oh,
actually, I'm looking at these pictures too. And when you said you put them in here to inspire women, oh my goodness, girls, you're going to be inspired. Is this really the same person? But you do amazing work with people. And you don't even have to be with them, do you? You can do this even over the phone.
I do. Actually, I do, and I have an online program, especially for style, works particularly well, because I get a lot of women that they maybe already know their colors, but they're saying, but what style should I wear? And I look at their body shape and size. I take into consideration their personality, dressing style, and then the line and design of their body, which I actually talked a little bit about that in the Accentuate chapter in the book, and how God made all of us unique, and then I can put together a very specified program for the individual. So if somebody comes, calls me and says, I live out in California, but I don't know what styles to wear, through sending me pictures, whether it's by internet or whether it's by postal mail, I can help you put together a look and give you an entire portfolio on how to shop, where to shop, what to buy, what necklines to get, what skirts to get. But I think one of the things I want women to really understand is that God made all of us unique, different, and beautiful in our own right. And some of us have got beautiful curved lines to our bodies, you know, rounded shoulders, maybe a fuller bust. You might have beautiful round eyes. Maybe you've got curvy hips. Rejoice in the way he made you and accentuate that in the same way. Wear curved line clothing that goes with your curved line body, something that flows maybe, or something that has ovalized lines to the design in it. Maybe you should be wearing a swirly print instead of a sharp stripe. And on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people who are very straight-lined people. They're very chiseled and structured-looking in their face and their body. They might have sharp shoulders or a really straight nose or a strong jawline. These people are usually going to look better in more angular-style clothing or something that does have stripes or plaids to it. And learn to accept it and embrace it. And for goodness sakes, move on. We all have our body issues and things that we're not happy with about ourselves, but I try to shed a different light on that and teach women how to accept it and to see that, you know, God tells us that we're his masterpiece in Ephesians 2:10. And I take that both spiritually and literally, because I think he did create each one of us unique, and he created us in a way so that we could do the good works he laid out for us to do. And oftentimes women come to me and say, well, I have things about myself that I just don't like. You know, I've got this scar, I've got this part of me that I think is just ugly, and I want to know how to hide it. And sometimes, you know, sometimes that's validated, but you know, often women don't realize that sometimes God gives us these little imperfections or allows us to have those imperfections to make us perhaps relatable to somebody on a level that nobody else could relate. I've got a good friend of mine's got a scar from having a heart surgery that shows, you know, no matter what she wears, you can usually see it, you know, if she's wearing a V-neck or a scoop neck shirt, and she shows it proudly, and it opens the door for her to be able to talk to other women about things that have gone on in her past. A woman who's had, who's maybe facing a surgery is going to be more inclined to talk to her about that.
Absolutely. In this chapter on Accentuate, you use a couple headers. One is Discover Your Design, and another is Your Signature Look. And what I really like about your work, Jill, is that you really do help us to embrace who we are, how we are, how God made us.
Yeah.
And you show that just by simply doing a little study, and, you know, honestly, the first step to love, to loving anything or anyone, is to honestly look at it. And you can have infatuation by not looking at something, you know, by looking at what you wish was there, what you hope is there, what you imagine might be there. But true love is really looking at what is there and then choosing to embrace it. And that's so important for each of us to do with our bodies, with our faces, with everything about
Absolutely.
Us. And you just do such a good job of taking us through this. So in this Accentuate chapter, you start with the skin tone so people can identify, are you a warm skin, cool skin, or versatile skin tone? You go into hair color, and then you do a color drape test that helps people to identify. In about 3 minutes, and okay, so we just scratched the surface of the first 78 pages of the book, and this book is like 170 pages, so there's so much that we didn't even touch yet. But if you could pick something in just a couple of minutes, Jill, that we didn't touch yet that you really want to make sure the women here today who are here, what would it be that you would want to just pick out of the rest of the book here?
You know, I'm just going to simplify it down to this, that real beauty comes when self-consciousness fades, self-acceptance develops, and loving God and others really becomes our focus.
And I think, did you have that written down? Because that was really good. Can you say that again?
I sure will. Real beauty comes when self-consciousness fades, self-acceptance develops, and loving God and others really becomes our focus. Because
beautiful.
It goes right back to God's commandment, love others as yourself and love God with all your heart, soul, and spirit. The key is that you need to focus on Him and let yourself just kind of let your self-consciousness start to fade. But I think part of it, too, is taking care of what you can. Do with what you've got what you can, and then move on in life. Look at, you know, and there's nothing wrong with looking beautiful. There's nothing wrong with making the most of what you've got. In fact, I often laugh and say that that no matter what you do, you're going to get judged based on what you look like, whether you look like a church lady or a hoochie coochie for that matter, because the interesting thing of it is our worst critics are the women that are in our church. I hate to say it, but isn't it true? I mean, we women tend to be like that. I think that it was best put by John Wesley, who was an evangelist once, said, "As to matters of dress, I believe that one should never be the first one into a fashion, nor the last one out of it." And the truth is, if we look dated and dowdy and frumpy, people are going to think that our ideas are dated and frumpy, or, you know, not up to par with maybe what's going on today. Although that said, I want you to know that there are women who look, from some of our perspectives, dated and dowdy, that are reaching people for Jesus that we can't. So I don't want to discount that aspect. But on the other hand, most of us that live in the USA and Canada, we're exposed to media. We see what's in style and what isn't in style. We need to pay attention to that. The other thing I like to say to women is, because God has fashioned us individually, we need to embrace our uniqueness and allow our look and style to be consistent with the way that He designed us. And that's exactly what my goal was in writing this book.
That lines up with my acronym, Busy Best, Unique Strategies for You, because you are unique. You are the only you there will ever be. And when God looks down, He looks at your heart first, and then He sees the outside, too, just like the rest of us do. And Jill is such a great mentor and coach for us to help us get the outside and the inside looking awesome. So if you want to learn more about Jill, you can visit her at her website, jillswanson.com. And if you're interested in getting her book out the door in 15 minutes, you can contact her directly for a 25% off coupon or a discount there, and that's all available at jillswanson.com. Jill, thank you. It's always such a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, and thank you for having me, Marnie. God bless you.
Thanks, and thank you, everybody, for being here. There is, as of this moment, there's one day left. We're having a drawing right at the front page of Marnie.com. If you haven't registered for that, you want to go do that right now. The drawing is tomorrow. And otherwise, we will see you next time. Have a great day. Have a good week. And thanks for joining us for Marnie's Friends today. Bye-bye.
Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select Free Updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's Free Updates over at Marnie.com.